This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Reach out and report some numbers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Some telecom heavy hitters report this week. Verizon releases earnings today, Sprint and Quest on Wednesday. And with fixed phone lines on the decline, the name of the game these days is wireless smartphones. A lot of wireless carriers are still feeling the heat from AT&T and its partnership with the Apple iPhone. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
There aren't many Americans left who don't have a cell phone. So when a wireless company wants new customers, it has to steal subscribers from a competitor. Scott Cleland is a telecom analyst with Precursor.
The U.S. is probably the most competitive wireless market in the world, paying the lowest prices, and Americans use more wireless than any other nation in the world.
Wireless companies compete in two directions, the lowest price and the snazziest phone. Industry analyst Jeff Kagan says, despite the recession, smart is trumping cheap.
The smartphone segment of the wireless industry is still exploding. It's the plain old handset market that's actually very soft.
Thanks to an upgraded iPhone, AT&T is persuading people to switch carriers. The company activated 2.4 million iPhone accounts in the second quarter. Still, Verizon Wireless, with its 88 million customers, continues to be top dog. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Stocks wrapped up last week mixed. We saw gains for the S&P and Dow. For the week, they were both up about 4%. The NASDAQ gave back a little on Friday. Asian shares closed higher today, 1.5% on average. European markets mostly higher right now as well. London's FTSE is flatter, just down slightly. There's more evidence of the impact the recession has had on the car industry. The Financial Times is reporting losses at the former Ford subsidiaries Jag and Land Rover hit more than $1 billion last year. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
Last year, Ford sold Jaguar and Land Rover to the Indian car company Tata. They got $2.3 billion. Ford got rid of these brands with near-perfect timing. The market for large and luxury vehicles was just about to collapse. The scale of that collapse is now horribly apparent. Having made a profit of around $1 billion in 2007, it's now emerged that Jaguar and Land Rover lost around the same amount in 2008. Tata may be having second thoughts about the purchase. The Indian company has been forced to pump more than $1.5 billion into their acquisition, and it's embroiled in a bitter row with the British government over the issue of state aid. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
There's a two-day meeting between U.S. and Chinese officials that kicks off today in Washington, what officials are calling a strategic and economic dialogue. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner will be there, as will Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. There's just something about the relationship between the United States and China, how we deal with one another, and how the Chinese deal with our treasury. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us now to talk about it. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
So what's up with this relationship? Who needs whom more?
Well, they both need each other a lot, and that's a big change over a few years ago because the United States used to be the global hegemon financially, to use a fancy word. And now it isn't.
China says in this dialogue that's happening this week that it would like both countries to unwind stimulus policies implemented to boost each economy. What's it mean by that?
The Chinese, as we know, the big buyers and holders of treasury securities, and you don't have to be a genius to see that the United States is in a situation where the value of these securities to China is going to decline. So if I were the Chinese and I cared about my investment, I'd want the United States government to stimulate a little less, save a little more, and preserve the value of the dollar.
So what would happen if China stopped buying them?
Well, I mean, it would be horrendous, but that's not how it would happen. It's not as if one day China would just say, we're not buying this anymore, because the people who run the Chinese central bank aren't stupid. And to say that would send the price of the dollar and the price of treasury securities plummeting, and they would hurt themselves. They would just do it gradually, which is what they're doing, asserting their equality with the United States, which is what they've been doing for months, and just go on. I mean, life is not television. There are not dramatic events. You just wake up one day and the financial markets and stuff has happened.
So where does this relationship go then, Alan?
Well, the Chinese theoretically need us as an outlet for their goods. We need them because someone's going to buy all these treasury securities. But when it ceases to be mutually beneficial, something bad is going to happen. And the Chinese are, you know, flexing their muscles, which is probably what I would do if I were Chinese. And it's going to go where it's going to go. But the United States has lost a lot of its freedom of maneuver, which is a point we've made here for a long time. And this is just another example of it.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Finally, let's think of some big cartoon greats. Scooby-Doo, Aquaman, Dora the Explorer, Warren Buffett. Yeah, you heard me. Warren Buffett. A company called A Squared Entertainment is taking the Oracle of Omaha down a dimension or two to put some educational value in investing.
Hi, Mr. Buffett.
Hi, everyone.
I'm good friends with Warren Buffett. He's going to teach me how to do my best, learn to invest, and have a lot of fun doing it in the Secret Millionaires Club.
Here's the storyline in a nutshell. A group of kids finds a valuable baseball card in the attic. They sell it, make a bunch of money, and they're looking for investment opportunities. Enter our daring superhero who gives them ideas about what to look for in a good investment. If only he'd been available before the housing bust. Check us out online at marketplace.org, our scratch pad there with the online host and blogger Scott Jagow, inside our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.